The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
I promised to throw you in the swim during the last lesson, and I'm not especially sorry I had to leave you swimming at the end of it, but here's a short review. A 6809 microprocessor contains several registers. Each register is, in effect, a memory slot inside the processor. But each register has a uniquely defined task. The A and B accumulators are 8-bit arithmetic logic units, or ALUs, capable of performing simple arithmetic and logical operations. The X and Y registers are 16-bit registers used mainly to index, that is, to point to, addresses within the processor's memory range. The PC, the program counter, points to the memory address containing the next instruction that the processor is to act upon. The address range of the 6809 runs from hexadecimal 0000 to FFFF, a total of 65,536 locations. When the power is turned on, the processor fetches the information stored in the top 2 bytes of memory, concatenates it, and places it in the program counter. The processor obtains its first instructions from that address. The instruction decoder begins translating the instructions into actions, and the computing begins. As an example of this much of the 6809's architecture, I presented a short program. In that example, the X register was given the address of, that is, indexed to, the first character of an ASCII message stored in memory, and the Y register was indexed to the first display location in video memory. The A accumulator loaded a value from memory indexed by X and stored that value in memory indexed by Y, causing an ASCII character equivalent to the stored value to appear on the screen. At the end of the lesson, I had introduced the flags, formerly known as the condition code register, whose purpose is to provide simple indications about the most recent instructions executed by the 6809 processor. In this case, by comparing the value in the X register to a known value, and subsequently checking the condition codes, it is possible to determine when the complete message has been displayed. I used an example in BASIC to outline the process, and finished by having you load and examine a mnemonic source code. Load that program again, it follows on this tape, and then I'll talk about mnemonics and source code, and what they mean.
This is a repeat of program number 8. Turn the computer off, insert the EDTASM Plus cartridge, and turn the computer back on. When the EDTASM Plus star, prompt, and cursor appear, you are ready to load the following program. Type L and hit Enter. When Ready Cassette is displayed, prepare to load this tape. The program follows now. You should have loaded an EDTASM Plus program. List this program using the P command and compare it with program number 8. If it does not appear correct, rewind the tape and try again.
We'll spend a session learning to use the editor assembler a little later. For the moment, print this listing on the screen by typing P, followed by Enter. What you see should almost look familiar from the descriptions of the processor instructions you've been getting from me. What you're looking at are mnemonics, somewhat verbal descriptions of processor commands. I'll read the commands in the third column. Load X, load Y, load A, store A, compare X, branch if not equal, return from subroutine. One more time, just for familiarity. Load X, load Y, load A, store A, compare X, branch if not equal, return from subroutine. These commands are called operation codes or opcodes. In the fourth column, you'll see the operands, those values and indications used by the opcodes. I'll read the third and fourth columns together, which provides a complete description of each 6809 processor instruction in turn. Here goes. Load X with the immediate value hexadecimal 0600. Load Y with the immediate value hexadecimal 0400. Load A with the value from memory indexed by X and increment by 1. Store A to the value in memory indexed by Y and increment Y by 1. Compare X to the immediate value of hexadecimal 0800. Branch if the result of the previous computation was not 0, that is, if not equal, back to the instruction labeled loop. Return from subroutine. The return is used here only because this program is a machine language subroutine we have used from BASIC. This RTS, this return from subroutine, gets the processor back to BASIC. I've used some new terms. Immediate value is one of them, one which I slipped into the previous lesson. Immediate is a piece of jargon I'm not fond of, but it's the formal term meaning use this actual number. In line 100 of this program, that means load X with the number, hex 0600. The number sign preceding the value is used to indicate an immediate operand. The rest of the listing should look fairly straightforward. The plus signs after X and Y mean automatically increment those registers by 1. There are also ways of incrementing by 2 or decrementing by 1 or 2. Later for that. But one thing might look peculiar, and that's the comma sitting in front of the X and Y in lines 120 and 130. To my eyes, that comma is a beautiful thing. It gives me computing power. Line 120 could have been written another way, LDA 0, X plus, which means load A with the value in memory indexed by the X register plus an offset of 0. One more time, LDA 0, X plus, load A with the value in memory indexed by the X register plus an offset. In this program, the offset value is an implied 0. It's implied by leaving it out, LDA, X. In effect, the A accumulator gets its value simply from the memory location indexed by the X register. If X is hex 0600, A loads its value from 0600, no problem. But that offset can be an astoundingly powerful thing. Most kids have written letters to friends in code. They mix up the letters and ever so seriously send a message. Cryptogram puzzles work that way, too. Using the 6809's amazing indexed offset technique, encoding and decoding that kind of message becomes a snap. I remember making off with a Scrabble set to write my cryptograms. I would sort out one alphabet of Scrabble tiles and then write out the letters of the alphabet in order on a large sheet of paper. Then I'd shake up the letters and put them down on my paper one at a time. A might be X, B would be L, C would turn into an N, who knows. That would be my code. I would write my message and carefully code it, letter by letter. Get a large piece of paper and a pencil. In one line across the paper, write the letters of the alphabet in a mixed-up order. Any order will do. When you finish that, write, in order, the hex numbers 00 to 19 above those letters. In other words, the letters will be out of order, but the hex numbers will be in order. Turn this tape back on when you've finished. Turn the tape off now. Now you've got 26 rearranged letters and 26 hex numbers in order. Above letter hex 00, write X register. Below letter 00, write cipher. Cipher is a convenience label that will identify the start of the coded alphabet. That's X register above letter 00 and the label cipher below letter 00. And now to the program. The idea here is to be able, given a value from somewhere, to extract the coded value from the table and provide it to the user. Let's say the value is in ASCII, a normal state of affairs for these machines. Letter A is ASCII hex 41. Letter Z is hex 5A. The question is how to get from ASCII values 41 through 5A to the encrypted values in the table, which are numbered 00 through 19 hex. Well, there's really no mystery or wonder to this part. If you subtract 41 from 41, you get 00. If you subtract 41 from 5A, you get 19. And these are offsets, in effect. So the ASCII values come in from somewhere. You subtract 41, and the resulting number is the position of the encrypted value in the table. You extract the value from that position, and the encoding is done. Think about that for a bit. But there's a program to write now, during which I'm going to introduce some new parts of the 6809 architecture. This would be a good time to take a break, then, and review what's been done so far. When you've finished reviewing, open your Extended Color Basic Manual and read pages 145, 146, and all except the last paragraph on page 147. Don't worry if you don't understand all of this. I'll explain later.
Please read pages 145, 146, and 147 in the Extended Color Basic Manual. This is the beginning of the chapter called Machine Language Routines. Return to this tape when you have completed the reading. Turn the tape off now.
The program you have to create will accept an ASCII value, subtract a constant, and use the result to pluck a number from the table of encrypted letters. You'll actually be creating a working program, so you need a jumping-off place, and BASIC is good. You can transfer a value from BASIC to machine language. It's part of the USR, or user, command. In your Extended Color BASIC book, the USR function was described. The argument they're talking about is the value transferred to a machine language program from BASIC, and that will be the ASCII value you're going to encrypt. Once control is given over to your machine language program from BASIC, your program must obtain that ASCII value. When USR is executed by BASIC, the first step is done for you. The value is waiting in memory, and part of BASIC's own machine language commands are set up for your use. The Extended Color BASIC manual describes this process of transferring your integer ASCII value by saying, quote, "It's possible to force the argument to an integer by calling BASIC's intcnv routine from the USR function intcnv equals x, quote, b3ed, quote, period." I'll tell you what that means. It means you can transfer an integer from BASIC to a machine language program by using a part of BASIC found at address b3ed hex. Your program must consider the chunk of BASIC beginning at hex b3ed to be its own subroutine. Subroutines in machine language are almost identical in principle to the GoSubs in BASIC, except that you have to know a little more about them. Primarily, you have to know about the stack. Return to your MC6809E data booklet and look again at figure 5 on page 5. Notice below the X and Y registers are two registers marked User Stack Pointer and Hardware Stack Pointer. The stack is one of the best and worst named registers in microprocessor programming. It's well named because it is, in fact, a stack full of bytes being temporarily stored. You put things on the stack in first in, last out order. That is, it's like a pile of magazines on your coffee table. The first magazine you stack there is the last magazine that gets taken off the table because everything else is on top. Go look. I bet you didn't realize there was still a January 1975 Reader's Digest underneath all that. Well, seriously, the stack is a register which points to a memory location. The address being pointed to changes as the stack grows or shrinks. But the stack is badly named in some ways because it works upside down. It's what's known as a push-down stack. Every time I push a byte onto the stack, the address decreases by one. It's like stacking those magazines on the ceiling. For the moment, just remember, first in, last out. The reason you have to know about the stack to use a subroutine is because it is on the stack where the 6809 processor puts the present address in its PC register, that is the program counter, when it jumps to a subroutine. That's because it has to know how to get back. It breaks the address into 2 bytes of data, pushes the 2-byte address on the stack, and puts the address of the subroutine in the program counter. The next instruction, so far as the program counter knows, is now at the beginning of the subroutine. It goes along executing instructions in the subroutine until it comes across the command RTS, or return from subroutine. The instruction decoder pulls that original 2-byte address off the stack, reconstructs it, and puts it in the program counter, and there you are, back where you left off in the original program. The program counter doesn't know a thing about this. It just follows the addresses it's given. Some jargon now. This is known as a subroutine call, and its mnemonic is JSR, jump to subroutine. As I said, it works just like a basic go sub, and like basic, you can nest your subroutines, call one from inside another. But here's where the difference shows up. You don't have to keep track of much in basic. It cleans up for you. But you've got to know where your machine language stack is, because it's also used to save information for later use. Refer again to the Extended Color Basic Manual on page 147, entitled Returning to Basic from a USR Function. It states, the values of A, B, X, and CC registers need not be preserved by the USR function. That implies that the value in the Y register is needed, since it's not in that list. So how do you save it? By pushing it on the stack, and that's how. Once the 2 bytes that make up the 16-bit Y register get pushed on the stack, you can then modify Y as you wish. Before returning to basic, pull Y from the stack, and off you go. If you're a little bit ahead of me, then you're asking which stack. The MC6809E data booklet indeed states that there are both user and hardware stacks. Subroutine calls automatically use the hardware stack, so that's a certainty. For pushing and pulling various values that you want to preserve, you might use either of the remaining stacks. But there's a little catch. Because of the complex software in the color computer, the user stack is, for the most part, reserved. So, stay away from it. The hardware stack is what's left. We'll get to the user stack way down the line in this course. But, for the moment, we'll be using the hardware stack. And now to the mnemonics. To push a value on the hardware stack, the mnemonic is push stack, P-S-H-S. The operand is the set of registers you wish to push. To push X, Y, and A registers, for example, you would push stack X, Y, A, P-S-H-S, X, Y, A. So where are you? We were working on a program here. You've got an encrypted ASCII alphabet in a table. You know that you have to save the Y register for basic. You know that hexadecimal B3ED is the address of the integer conversion subroutine. Page 149 of the Extended Color Basic Manual tells you that B4F4 is also a subroutine, and it's the subroutine call that properly returns an integer value to basic. So we can get into the program, we know what to save, we know what we've got to do, and we can get back to basic. All that's left is to write the program. If you need it, now's a good time to take a break and review up to this point. Now to the program. Do it on paper first. The Y register must be saved, so push stack Y. Write P-S-H-S Y. Now there's the matter of getting the value waiting in basic. Jump to the subroutine at hexadecimal address B3ED for that. Write JSR $ B3ED. JSR B3ED. The basic manual tells you that the value from basic is returned in the D register. What's the D register? Well, it's merely the name for both A and B 8-bit accumulators used as if they were a single 16-bit accumulator. In this case, all of that isn't necessary. Since the value we are using is an ASCII character, it is only 1 byte in size, fitting into the B accumulator. Now, the encryption table has to be identified. Write load X with immediate value cipher. Write LDX, and across from it, write crosshatch or pound sign, number sign, whatever you call that symbol, cipher. LDX, number sign, cipher. The X register is pointing to the 0th entry in the encrypted ASCII table, and everything in computers starts with zero, so the adjective 0th has been invented for that purpose. So the X register here points to the 0th entry in the encrypted ASCII table. Remember that hex 41 has got to be subtracted from the ASCII value to get it in the range 00 to 19. Subtract the immediate value, then, of 41 hex from the B register. That is, subtract from B immediate value 41. Write SUBB number sign dollar sign 41. SUBB immediate 41. The computer magic is next. You know that the B register contains a value from 00 to 19. You know that X is pointing to the 0th value in the encrypted table. All that's left of the hard work is to use that information to find the value you want from the table. That value is found at the address indexed by X, X, of course, is at the start of the table, plus the offset value found in register B. The value is found at the address indexed by X plus the offset of register B. So then, load A with the value indexed by X offset by B. Write LDA B, X. And you've got it. LDA B, X. What happens is the A accumulator finds the X register, finds the address it's pointing to, adds to it the value in B, and comes up with a composite address, plucks the value you need from memory. Now, the extended BASIC manual says that to get the value back to BASIC, it has to be in the D register. Now, remember, that's A and B used as one register. And B4F4, that subroutine, has to be called. Now, that means the value now in the A accumulator has to be placed in the B accumulator, since the B register is the least significant byte of this 16-bit D register. There's a transfer instruction for that. That's an exchange kind of thing. Transfer A to B. Write TFR A, B. Transfer A to B. TFR A, B. Now A and B contain the same value. You want A to be 0, so clear it. There's an instruction to do that also. Write clear A. C-L-R-A. Clear A. C-L-R-A. At this point, it looks like most of the work is done, so call that routine that gives the value to BASIC. Write JSR hex B4F4. That's JSR dollar sign B4F4. Now get the Y register back. Remember, you saved the Y register, and you should, because these stack pushes and pulls are very important. So get the Y register back. Pull stack Y. Write P-U-L-S Y. P-U-L-S Y. And finally, it's back to BASIC, return from subroutine. Write RTS. There's a tape to load now. When you've done with that, take a break.
Find program number 9 in the book. You should still have your EDTASM Plus cartridge in place. In either case, turn the computer off, insert the EDTASM Plus cartridge, and turn the computer back on. When the EDTASM Plus star prompt and cursor appear, you are ready to load the following program. Type L and hit Enter. When Ready Cassette is displayed, prepare to load this tape. The program follows now. You should have loaded an EDTASM Plus program. List this program using the P command and compare it with program number 9. If it does not appear correct, rewind the tape and try again.
You've got your tape loaded now, so type P, number sign, colon, asterisk. We say that number sign with the word pound, so actually you'd say type P, pound, colon, asterisk, or star. P, pound, colon, star, and hit enter. There are just a few new things in this listing. Line 100 contains the notation cipher EQ $3000. EQ means equate, and you're setting up a label here. This line tells the editor assembler that the label cipher is to mean hex 3000. So whenever the editor assembler encounters the label cipher, the editor assembler knows to work with the value 3000. This is called an equate, and it makes life easier for you as a programmer. You can remember meaningful labels instead of heaps of numbers. The other new item is in line 110, reading org $3100. This means that the origin, or first address, where your program resides will be at memory location hexadecimal 3100, org 3100. Beyond that is the end statement in line 220. All that in front of you should look almost exactly like the program you've written down. This is the source code for the encryption program, the mnemonic representation of the instructions you want the 6809E processor to follow. Do a few things mechanically now. I want you to try the program, but I'm not quite ready to explain all about the editor assembler, so that's for next time. Type the following. A slash IM slash AO. Now, letter O there. A slash IM slash AO. One more time. A slash IM slash AO. Now hit enter. A listing should be scrolling by and your star prompt will return. The editor assemble has just turned your mnemonic code into a group of 6809 instructions and placed them in memory. Briefly, A means to assemble the program, IM means to assemble it in memory, and AO means absolute origin, that is, to assemble the program exactly where your org statement says it should be. Okay, so that's all done, so now quit the editor assembler. Type Q and hit enter. Your basic message should come up, and I have another short program for you to load.
Find program number 10 in the book and follow the instructions. This is a basic program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded a basic program. List this program and compare it with program number 10. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind the program and try again.
You've just listed this program. Have a look at it. Line 10 defines your USR program to be at hex 3100, the origin you used in that editor assembler version. Line 20 places the letters of the alphabet in reverse order in memory starting at 3000. And that's where the pound cipher, that is the number sign cipher, encryption table is supposed to be. And line 30 is an ordinary in-key string statement that picks off an uppercase character as you type it. Line 40 gets the ASCII value of the letter. So far, everything is basic, and you probably know that. Nothing special. Finally, line 50 transfers the ASCII value to the machine language program and executes the program. The transfer and execute is all found in line 50. When the machine language program is done, it returns to BASIC. Line 60 prints the ASCII character represented by the value transferred back from the machine language program. In other words, line 60 prints the encrypted character that your program has just performed for you, and line 70 repeats the whole process. So run the program and begin typing the alphabet. I'll be with you next time. Be sure and review this lesson before then.